the way we designed this, just to let you know, is that we asked for a younger married couple and a like middle married couple, right? And not old age, but older married couple. just to be clear. I always tell people we just got married 49 years ago. And it's been that quick, that fast. So welcome everybody. Again, three couples, five different questions. And so we're just going to be passing the mic back and forth for these five questions. I'll read the questions to you, and we'll do that again as we get started. So by the way, it's Daniel and Nora Tsenev from Bulgaria. And then we have Chris and Sophie Smucker from Eastern Lancaster County, New Holland, and of course myself and Mary, Steve and Mary Prokopchik. So we welcome you. Question number one, as we talk about marriage ministry, is what has been your biggest challenge in managing your marriage while at the same time being dedicated to ministry? Number two, how do you keep communication alive, current, and frequent? Number three, how do you keep growing your love and dedication to one another? In other words, when ministry or children or grandchildren or finances attempt to sidetrack you, how do you keep growing your love? What are the means and methods that you use for that? Question number four, how do you maintain sexual intimacy while caring for all of your responsibilities in ministry and life? And question number five is, how frequently do you connect for couple prayer, and what does that look like for you? So those are the five very broad brush questions that we want to try to each respond to, and we want to allow the different lengths of marriage that will respond to this. So thank you again for coming, and thank you for caring about your marriages while you're at the same time in ministry. I always like to say that, you know, marriage is a creation act of God. It's not a Christian act of God. And so marriage predates Christianity by a few years. And it is why the religions in the world marries, because it was started by God from the beginning. So I like to think that if God started something in the beginning, it was really, really important to him. And so this is a very important aspect of who we are and what God's called us to. So we're going to start with the first question, which was, what has been your biggest challenge in managing your marriage while at the same time being dedicated to ministry? And I'm going to ask Mary if she would respond to that first.
Sure. For us, it was time management. When I was working as an RN, Steve was working with Dove. We had three kids. And then your life gets very, very busy. And it's like you're busy people. You have ministry. You have school meetings. You have the kids are in sports. And so for us, it was making a decision of what was priority, what we were going to be involved in, what we were not going to be involved in. And always being in agreement with that. And Steve helped me with that, because when you're busy, people come to you and ask you to do more because they know you're going to get it done, or you're going to try, whatever. But he would say to me every year, we would evaluate our year before and look to the new year, and he would say, are you called to do this year? And I'm the kind of person, like, I was doing pro-life stuff, life chains, and, you know, anti-pornography, whatever, all these different things. And he would say, that's all good, and I believe God's called you to do that, but are you called to do that in the coming year? Mm-hmm. So I'm the eternal person. I do it forever, you know. And so he really, really helped me, you know, like, let's pray about it. And I was, like, amazed. There was a time that I could hand it off to somebody else and give it up and then do something else that God was calling me to do. So know what you're called to do when you're in those busy seasons, and know what to say no to.
Yeah, so for me, the only thing I'd add to that is for me, a really big challenge was initially I was a social worker, caseworker. I went into marriage and family counseling with Dove. And so for me, it was effectively taking that counseling hat off and putting on my father husband hat. I could easily come in the door still counseling. So Mary would be sharing with me about her day, and I'd be giving her all the answers. And she'd be like, oh, you're the great counselor. And I'm like, uh-oh. So I had to learn, this is what I learned. Am I just listening? Mm-hmm. Or are you looking for a response from me? Because I can listen. People pay me to do that. You know, like I can do that. Or do you actually want a response? If you want a response, I'm going to give it to you. If you don't, I'll just listen. That's okay. I think the next...
And he actually still asks me that. Like, we'll be talking about something, and he'll go, okay, do you want input, or do you just want me to listen? And then and I tell him. Sometimes I really do want his input, and other times it's like, no, I just need you to listen. You know, so, yeah.
The other thing was, children's ages are seasons. So when I was doing a lot of air travel, or have been doing a lot of air travel, there was a season to do that. There was an earlier season not to do that. Yeah. When my younger son said, Daddy, you missed my birthday, like that hit me right in the heart. Okay, it's meaningful for my son to be home for his birthday. I said, but we celebrated it before I left. I know, Daddy, but you weren't here on my birthday. So that, you know, so it was taking the temperature of your children all through every season and finding what did they need in this season. So I would bring things home from them, for little trinkets home for them, and then I kind of got into that habit, and then was bringing T-shirts, and my kids became teenagers. They, you know, I'd come home and I'd have a gift, and they'd say, "You were away," you know, like, "I hope you didn't bring us anything."
Yeah, I think time management definitely for us was also the biggest challenge. But then what I would like to add to that same aspect is in the time management, we were just giving more than we would be investing in one another. So we would be giving towards the business, towards the children, towards the church, and constantly giving. And so when you give and give, then your marriage becomes like, you, what else are you going to give? So that becomes like a tension field. So even within that understanding of time management, there needs to be a balance of when you invest in your relationship or invest in other areas, but you cannot just only give and not receive from one another. So that I would add that tension to that.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. Yeah, I think a big challenge for us is a little bit what Steve was saying about which hat you're wearing, because I know for us a big challenge has been, you know, we have in ministry you might face tension or some obstacles that you're working through, and if that happens at work, you can kind of just close the door and go home, and there's a clear separation, a clear disconnection. But for us in ministry, we're working together in ministry, and a lot of that happens at home, and so it's the challenge is to not let that constantly bleed into your family time, and to say, hey, you know, we're not going to talk about this today anymore. We're now going to shift gears and be a family, and then tomorrow we'll deal with this again. So just keeping that kind of separated.
We were very blessed to have a lot of wise counsel when we were getting married, and you know, we would listen to Steve and Mary for years before we actually got married. So we knew that we had to build a healthy structure around family and ministry, and having unity in deciding what our lives would look like is very strong, because our fight was not how it should look like, but once we set it up to keep it, because life would try to distract you all the time. So maybe you can share more about that.
Yeah, I really believe that it's very important to spend time as a family, as a couple, to invest in the relationship with our children. Ministry is one side of our lives, but investing into our family and children is the other one, and it's as much as important as the first one. So for us, we know our strengths and we know our weaknesses. So we communicate that it's very important to set this time and have these days off. And something that I'm really good at is just keep reminding that the day off is coming, and this is a family day. It's a day where we can connect as a husband and wife, and with the children doing something together. And sometimes it's really hard, because when things are going with church ministry, online show, we do an online show as as well. He goes and does concerts in the country, traveling. Sometimes it's really challenging, but just knowing that we have to find the rhythm and we have to have this day off, and the kids know that this is a priority for us. And when we have dinner time, it's time just for the family. We sit together, no phones, no TV on. We are just talking, although sometimes they get really bored and they say, ah, this is boring. We don't want to just sit and talk. We said this is an investment in our relationship, so this is important as everything else that is important for you. So yeah, I believe that just finding the rhythm and keeping our boundaries, because sometimes when we travel, like this trip, it's a long trip for us, it's 3 weeks trip, and we are away from the other three kids. So this means that we had to invest time before we left and after we go back home. Even in our relationship, we know that we'll be on this trip with the baby. We will not have undistracted time, just the two of us. So we had to invest ahead. And then when we go back, we had to have some time, just the two of us. So it's pretty much setting boundaries and keeping them for us.
Yeah, and what we learned is that we can save the world, but if we lose our kids, yeah, we have lost the battle. Mm. And actually, we even tell our church, we can serve you most effectively if we have a healthy family. So investing in our family is investing in the ministry and the church. And we don't steal away from, because there'll be needy people everywhere. But if our family is messed up, we won't be effective.
So the next question is, how do we keep communication alive, current, and frequent? And I'm going to ask Chris and Sophie to start us out with this one.
Yeah, that is a challenge. You know, we have four kids, and so our house is not empty very often in the morning and in the evening. And so, you know, sometimes the best communication is just the two of us when there's no one else around. And so one of the things we do to kind of achieve that is we some of our communication's on the phone. Like if I'm at work and we really have to talk about something, you know, I'll check out of my office and she'll call me and we'll just, you know, work it out on a half hour phone conversation. Another way is my office is close to my house, and so sometimes I'll go home for lunch and, you know, I know all the kids are in school, so we can go home for lunch and just have some focus time.
So let me add, it's his business, he's a business owner, so if he's cheating anybody on the work time, he's cheating himself.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a good point.
Yeah, so I do have a lot of flexibility. My boss lets me off, so.
They don't know that.
Yeah. Thank you, Steve.
That's very good.
Yeah, we make sure we update each other every day on what has happened, because if we don't do that, we can start living in parallel worlds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there was a time where it worked for us. Every time I came back from work, we would go out on a walk in the neighborhood, and for like 15, 20 minutes, we update each other and we connect. Now with the baby, it doesn't work so well, so it usually is after we put them to bed and we update each other. And sometimes it's a challenge because we're so tired and it's not ideal, but it's better to be not ideal, but to be there instead of not having it at all. We also, during the day, sometimes would shoot each other short messages. I personally hate that because it distracts me. But again, better be connected in an ideal way than have no connection. So life cannot always be ideal, especially marriage, especially with four kids small in the home. So you do the best you can in the best way you can.
Yeah, and the other thing that I can add is that it's very helpful to know each other's personalities, the way God created each one of us. We both, one of the love languages we have is quality time. So you can imagine with four little kids, homeschooling, ministry going on, quality time, it's something like a dream sometimes. So in the beginning of our marriage, I really had expectations that during the day we'll just have this quick conversations just to hear each other when he's at work and just talking and just connecting. Yeah. Just that's maybe this was the example that my parents set for me. So this was something good. And because I like talking more than he does, it comes really natural to me. But it turned out that he is not wired this way. So it was really distracting for him during the day just to have a conversation and just to stop doing everything else he's doing. He's goal-oriented, he follows his purpose. When he is at work, he wants to have his undistracted time so he can be more productive. And now I know that I have to respect the way God created him, and to, if I want this time, I can just send him a text message and say, okay, is it a good time for you to talk? I just really need to hear you now. So I just respect his time and the way God created him. And on the other hand, he knows, okay, she has this need to talk with me. So a way to show her love is to respond in some way and find time during this day. Although for me, 24 hours, what is it to talk just for 5 or 10 minutes? It's not a big deal, but for him, if it's not the right time, this could be a big deal. So yeah, just finding, knowing each other and not getting offended by the way we are created and we respond to one another is the key for us in building a quality time and communication with one another.
Our family is grown, gone, all married, out of the house, and so it means a lot to Steve when he comes home that we take time and not chase me around and try to talk to me, but that we sit down and share about our day, you know, where I like to multitask, you know, I can talk and do something else. And he's like, no, just come in here and we'll talk, you know. So, but that's important for us, because if we don't do that, we don't know what's going on in his schedule, my schedule. And then for a season, we had his mother living with us. She's 94, and we didn't have in-law quarters, so she was very present at every meal. And I mean, in your every day, everything, you know. And so we would put on our vests and blinking lights and walk at night. I mean, out we went, and she'd go, but it's dark, it's cold, why are you going out now? You know, we're like, oh, we'll be back, we just need the exercise, you know. And out we would go, so we would have some privacy, but be able to talk and communicate. That was really important to us, yeah.
It's, we've been told for years, don't bring work home. You know, like, don't bring that home. I disagree with that. I feel like if you don't bring something home from work around the table, your children will never bring school home.
Yeah, that's right.
They won't bring their relationships home. So I'm not saying get down and dirty with the person you can't stand at work, or, you know, whatever it is. I'm saying bring something. You know, have the dinner time be a communication time, but bring something home. Dad, talk about something that you need to communicate. Mom, bring up an issue that you need, because then when you get to your children, your preteens, teens, and whatever, and you say, how was your day? They're not going to go, eh, you know, eh. They're going to respond with something about their day and then communicate about it. The other thing is, I think it's very important to negotiate what subjects are spoken about in front of the children, what subjects are not. So we're going to communicate one way or another. But if there are offline subjects, then, you know, do the timeout and make sure you take them offline and they're not, you know, I oversee a lot of lead elders, and I really don't like when lead elders exercise their right to communicate about anything in the presence of others, especially in their home with their children, because it's information that they're getting that they can't do anything with. Like, they're not part of the solution and they're not part of the problem. And so it's information that they just can't handle and they can't do anything with that. So I want to give them information. I want them to learn from the things we're learning and communicate those things, but not make them a part of the problem, or that they perceive their parents being given a rough time by the congregation. So, yeah, or whatever the ministry is. So moving right along, we have a short time. We want to keep it moving. So question number three was, how do you keep growing your love and dedication to one another? And in other words, when ministry and children, grandchildren, all these things, finances, they can attempt to sidetrack you. How do you grow your love? Let's go down to Daniel and Nora and have them start that one.
Yeah, we try to do practical things that we know mean something for the other person, because love is a choice. Love is action. So it's about getting to know the other person and ministering to them for something that means something to them. And I'll let Nora also mention a few practical things that we try to do. But to us also, it's important, in order for our love to grow, on one side to invest in it, on the other side to keep it safe. Because there are a lot of things that can, if you allow bitterness in your heart, it will destroy your love. And one of the things we learn to do is not to be honest with how we feel. You know, the world tells you, oh, be honest with how you feel. And this means to them, whatever you feel, you just throw it up on the other person. Every bad thought, every bad feeling, we don't do that. We take ownership of what we speak and what we tell the other person. So every time there are feelings that come to us, we are honest with admitting that these feelings are there, but we don't allow them to dictate how we respond, how we act, and what we think. And we take the discipline to control what thoughts we're going to allow in our heads towards the other person. So if negative thoughts come that we feel bring distance between us, we take captives those thoughts and say, we're not going to allow ourselves to think about our spouse this way. We have chosen to love him, to respect him, and we're going to invest in our love. And these thoughts, they're not helping. So we are rejecting those thoughts.
Yeah, and we're in a season of having children who are approaching teenage years and having a baby. So it's really challenging season for us. As you can see, yeah, yesterday she was not with us, but today she is here. So I would say that before baby number four, we really get the time to be somewhere, just the two of us, for one or two nights, find babysitters, and just invest in our relationship, undistracted time, just for the two of us. Sometimes, as you said, the house is full and there is no quiet time and place in the house just for the two of us to talk. And when I wake up in the morning, they're there. When I go to bed, they're still there and they are awake sometimes. And it's like, oh, when is our time? So I believe that having this time away is a good investment. Now it's really hard with the baby, but soon this season will change. And what we try to do on a regular basis is to have date nights. And this is not typical for Bulgarian culture, for the Bulgarian culture. Not at all. For my parents, sometimes it sounds weird. We are going on a date and we need someone to babysit for us. But even if we don't have a babysitter, we ask the older kids to help us and babysit for us, so we can have walks in the neighborhood or just do something, just the two of us, undistracted time and attention. Yeah.
Another thing I wanted to mention is, like, in line with dedication to one another, we have found it to be really important in our marriage that, you know, like you know, when things frustrates us, or things that, you know, like, you're just different and, oh, this annoys me or that annoys me, we really do not speak to even our best friends, like, oh, Chris this, oh, Sophie this. I think we're really trying to honor one another regardless how you feel, even whether you're mad or frustrated. But I think if you keep that standard of just, regardless how you feel, just to keep that honor to one another, towards the world out there, I think that really, really, really helps. And then along to what Nora was saying about communication, like especially for women, you guys just don't always know what you think and what you feel. And sometimes, you know, they need to be taught about like what you think is important, what the things that touch you. And so just to be open, like, hey, this is... And that takes years sometimes, you know. But I remember there was a time in our marriage where we were very, there was just a lot on our plate, and we were just really frustrated. And just to know, like, hey, you know, and Chris would come to me, he's like, honey, I just want to be your friend. I was like, oh, wow. But it was like such a breakthrough moment, because we're not each other's enemies. You know, we have a covenant with God and with each other. We're not each other's enemies, and things around us can be like very turbulent. But then when we went like for 8 days, it took 8 days, right? So we went for 8 days, we were just like the two of us, and like it took 2 days to like, overnight trip. So it took two days to just detach, getting out of the murkiness, and then we were like, wow, we really like each other, you know? We just really like each other. There was no other influence. I'm like, we have no problems, because it's just me and you. And so that, I mean, that was like after years of marriage, obviously, but that is a powerful thing, you know? Like, you know, we're not each other's enemies. We can be open with communication. And so I think that was great, right?
It was, yeah. Mm-hmm. Great. You said it well.
Steve is very good about taking me on date nights and planning times away for us. And he would always say, now this is years ago when we had landlines. Yes. And he said, I have to get her away from the phone, you know, because I would become a different person. All the responsibility was behind me, and it was just the two of us, like you said. And all of a sudden, we could communicate. Yeah. We were on the same page, whatever, and we weren't being interrupted, whatever, blah, blah, blah. So he does very well with that. But something that he's done that's really honored me is even today, before he schedules a trip or a couple's thing at a church, whatever, he always checks with me first. So our calendars are in alignment. He doesn't just tell somebody, oh yeah, we'll come and do that for you. And he hasn't checked with me, because sometimes we hit conflicts in time or something that he's not aware of or I'm not aware of. And so that really blesses me. And so I do the same for him. You know, if I'm gonna schedule something, or is it okay? Is this gonna work for us? Or do we need to make it a different time? It's just a nice way to honor one another.
Yeah, we've done a lot of things over the years. I took Mary to counseling once, and.
Yes, he did.
I was in there with her. Don't think that.
So we tell people, if you need help, get help. Yeah. It's okay. Mm-hmm. We did. It's okay.
Yeah, we did. We have, and we love accountability. We love those who oversee us. We love being honest and open with them. I've had to teach sometimes overseers. Here's what you need to ask me. You know, like here's what you need to check in on us about, because you know they just don't know the nuances of your relationship all the time. So sometimes it's just helpful if you lay that out there and be honest about it, and then they can do that. They can check in on you. I love reading books on marriage, and we love talking about that. We've done every marriage couples devotional book there is, man. We've done them all. We can tell you the sleepers, you know. We've gotten into some like halfway. We're like, we just can't do anymore in this book. So we've done so many things, and the other thing I really think is a challenge for us that we can't get to do this all the time, but we're doing it this year. There is a marriage conference that we want to get to that we heard about four leadership couples in marriage, and actually Chick-fil-A puts it on down in Georgia. So we're heading to that this November. Again, we want to be challenged to change, not just be challenged, but we want to be challenged to change. We want people to ask us the hard stuff, hold us accountable. We want to read books that'll help us in every area of marriage so that we can continue to grow. All right, now to the question that you guys all want to hear the response to.
The hot heavy question.
Number four, how do you maintain sexual intimacy while caring for all of your responsibilities in ministry and life? So we're the oldest ones here, and we firmly believe that intimacy, the whole area of sexual intimacy, is something throughout married life that the enemy wants to take from you. So he's very good at selling all the sex you want before marriage and no sex thereafter. I was told by a Chinese missionary who's been there decades, he said there's a kind of a mantra in China that goes like this. You know, romance happens before marriage. After marriage, romance and intimacy is over. And it's kind of this belief there. And so that breaks my heart, because God gave us something as human beings that no other living organism or animal kingdom has, like intimacy, sexual intimacy outside of procreation. We have a gift from God. So it seems reasonable that if it's a gift from God, it seems reasonable. The enemy's worked very hard to take it, you know, from you. So don't let God steal this. Just don't let him steal this. We've sat with way too many couples who've said we haven't been intimate for months or even years. We've heard that. Have that dedicated date night. Have your language that speaks the intimacy, you know, the language that you as a couple understands, because it's something only you have. You don't share with anyone else. It's only for you. And so maintain that language. The other thing, and we did this in a lot of marriage counseling that we did, the couples that lost intimacy and wanted to get it back, we encouraged them to create a schedule. And they were like, well, there's no spontaneity to that. That's crazy. Well, you know what's crazier? Not having intimacy. So if you schedule everything in your life, you know when you're going to the doctor, you know when you're doing this, you know when you're doing, everything's scheduled in your life. What's wrong with scheduling something that you really want to have in your marriage? So whatever it is, you meet together and say, hey, if we were going to schedule sex, you know, how frequently would we schedule it? I love the premarital question that we have in our book. When you're asking couples before they're married, how frequent do you want to have sexual intercourse, or how frequent do you want to be intimate? And I love that, and the question says per month. And I remember the first editor we had, she said, don't you mean per week? And I'm like, no, per month. I want to see how big the number can be. And a lot of guys, they answer separately. The guys will be like, well, it depends on the days of the month. How many days are there in there?
Say 31.
And you're covered. You say 31. I love that answer, and we're not critical of it. We just say go for it, like go for it. Don't let the enemy steal this from you. Don't let time rob you of it. Don't let your children take it from you. So we have a marriage group, and we were talking about this, and the couple has some young children, and they were in their bedroom, locked in the door, and locked the door, and somehow a child got the door open or something, and they're like, I want to jump on the bed naked, you know. All right, I'll better stop.
Okay. So, in very few words, we decided we weren't going to be robbed of this, and what we were prescribing for everybody else, we do. We have a schedule, and that sets me free, it sets him free, and it makes it happen, and we're committed to it. So we're not devaluing one another and losing that. So you know stuff about us that a lot of people don't know, but it's powerful. Oh.
They will now.
I'm not sure if I should add anything or not, but I think, like, you know, like in an ideal world, it is like a beautiful extension on even like how you feel like you're connected, right? Like sexual relationships. But there is a place, I think, also in marriage where it's also a covenant, you know? So and so I agree with, like, sometimes it's just natural and it happens, you know, like frequently. But then if not, you do have to be intentional and you do have to say, you know, like, you know what, because it is a priority and it is also, it's just such a unifying bond, you know? So we have just like a lifestyle where it just happens naturally or like spontaneously. But if not, then, you know, then we schedule it, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, and I would, you know, when you talk about scheduling, Steve, you're basically saying a priority. You're making it a priority. Yeah. And I think that's important because, you know, all of us have probably more than what we can fit on our plate. So some things are going to fall off the plate. And the only things that stay on the plate are those things you make a priority. And so really it comes down to prioritizing.
Yeah, our culture is really impacted by Hollywood, how we think about sex. Mm-hmm. And that whole idea of spontaneity. Man, when you have four kids and you expect spontaneity, you're going to have sex just once a year, I'm telling you. If you just wait for all the stars to align correctly and the moon to be at the right exact location, you know, that's how you go sexless in your marriage. So what's important for you, you put it in your calendar. If you want something to happen, you put it in your calendar. And again, Hollywood lies to us by telling us that scheduling sex is not romantic, the spontaneity is romantic. Well, let me tell you, a bad example. What do people who commit adultery do? They plan and schedule. Oh, my husband's not going to be in town on Saturday, and I'm going to pick you up at 5 o'clock. We're going to go to the restaurant, and then we're going to get a room in a hotel. And that, they say, this spices up the anticipation. Yeah. Come on, if they can do this for something so negative, why can't we do it? You know, you put it in your calendar, and you watch it. It's there, and you're anticipating in the whole day, and you spice things up during the day. It is romantic. Yeah. If you propose to somebody, you know, if you propose to your future wife, actually, the more you put into preparation, the more romantic it is. You'll be a total jerk if you don't plan it, and all of a sudden, oh, I want to be spontaneous. How about getting married? You are out of your mind. So if you want to be romantic, plan. Plan. And I'm telling you, we have had our online marriage ministry for 8 years. We've read over 1,000 stories. We have met people and heard their stories so many times. I have never, ever heard somebody say, oh, our marriage was hurt because we had too much sex. Never, ever. But you will never believe how many stories we heard of people saying, it's because we ignored that in our marriage. There is now a distance between the two of us. Yeah. So that's why for us it's a priority, and you know, even if you study on a physical level, on an emotional level, what the effect of sex is in marriage, you will understand why Apostle Paul talks about sex from a different perspective. Because Hollywood says, oh, sex should be something spontaneous, but Paul says, no, you owe this to your partner. And we're not talking about having sex in the context of being forceful or rude. No, we're not talking about this. But the Bible says you can't just bet on spontaneity. You owe something. We owe this to each other. So you got to take very seriously this responsibility and make it happen because it is important. So, yeah, we're on board with you. We learned that from you. We schedule it, and that's how we make it. Oh, you know, we have a problem because he wants to have sex 3 times a day and we come back from work and what do we do with that? I'm like, man, if you have this problem, you are blessed. You are blessed. And so often, couples would ask us, okay, so how often should we have sex? And you read all these magazines, oh, all the happy families have 3 times a week or 4 times a week. We're telling you, man, if you feel happy with something, stop comparing yourself with anybody else. You're designed differently. So whatever works for you, just do that. And usually it's there's tension because one partner wants it more, the other one wants it less. Well, that's how we grow to serve each other, you know? But we always encourage people to side on the person who wants more sex, because as we said, your marriage won't suffer if you have more sex, but it will suffer if you have less.
So good. So sexuality is something that we give. Sexual lust and fornication is something we take. So your love giving, love making versus love taking, lust taking, and there's a huge difference. I want to add that something that's affected sexuality today, the reason that you see so many ED commercials on TV, the reason for that, there's the one reason for that, pornography. And the ED drugs are not going to the 60, 70-year-olds, they're going to the 20, 30-year-olds because of pornography addiction. And then sex in marriage becomes bad pornography. Yeah. So that has got, these things that the enemy's handed us to steal from us has got to be dealt with in our lives. And the lives of those that we minister to, because the enemy is robbing them so much so that they've got to take a drug to be able to be intimate with their spouse. Mm-hmm. Something terribly, terribly wrong with that. My physical, I had this over 50 physical, so this is a few years ago. In fact, I was well over 50. I might have been like 55 or 58, I don't know what it was. And I have a doctor, and my wife was a nurse for this doctor that I saw, which is a very important part of the story. And he's always very serious. Like, I work very hard at humor, because I think it's good, like a medicine. I mean, it's why I enjoy someone like our speaker here this weekend, you know. But so he's so serious. I mean, I want my doctor to be serious, you know, but I could never get him to laugh. I mean, I worked hard, like every physical to get him to laugh. So he says, we're doing over 50 physical. He said, so since Mary's a nurse and all that, he said, you probably don't need the over 50 sex talk. And I'm like, there's an over 50 sex talk? And he goes, yeah. I said, well, hey, let me have it. If there's an over 50 sex talk, I want to hear it. So he's talking about, you know, the things that are happening with the woman, and I'm not going to go into detail on that, but anyways, he's telling me all these things. I'm like, yeah, okay, I got that, yeah, I got that. And he goes, now you. I said, me. He goes, yeah, you. He said, so if you need, he said, we have help for men. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, well, you know, ED drugs and that kind of thing. And he says, I said, oh, he goes, yeah. He said, I like the Cialis drug. That's the one I personally prescribe. And I said, listen, I don't need to see Alice. All I need is see Mary. It's not Alice I'm interested in, you know. So for the very first time, my doctor went. Number five question is, and we finish up with this, how frequently do you connect for couple prayer, and what's that look like for you? We just had the privilege of doing a little video for some of our friends in Bulgaria, and they said that there's one thing that you could share with the couples in Bulgaria in 10 minutes. We actually did it in 8. Yeah. What would you share? And I said, the thing we would share, by far, number one, marriage is prayer is the most intimate thing you can do. Now, we've talked about sexuality, but honestly, sexuality can be done with anybody and not be intimate. Okay, so that's crudely said. Within marriage, a prayer is so intimate that many of us as couples miss out on it because it's too vulnerable. it has to be a safe place in order to pray. If you're, many Christian couples have taken prayer to a same-sex prayer partner. You know, I have a prayer partner, which is fine. If you're also praying with your spouse, you're also maintaining the intimacy of prayer. And we say it's the most intimate because you cannot divulge your heart before the Lord, before your mate, if you don't have the connection in your marriage, if you don't have the intimacy, and you're just not going to do it. And if it's not a safe place for you, you're just not going to divulge it. So we really fully believe and teach over and over and over that prayer is the most intimate thing. So Mary, share anything practical with the prayer. Yeah.
You're all at different stages in your marriages and family, and we had this prayer track, and we would have our devotions and individually and pray, and then we would pray over meals, and we would pray together before we went to bed at night. But as we raised our kids, we just really felt the need for more time together to pray. That was really important. And so we get together, and whatever time works for you, but what works for us is in the morning. And it's not an hour. If we grab 10 minutes, whatever, 15 minutes, and pray together. But what that does for me is, when Steve prays for me, mm-hmm. and I pray for him, mm-hmm. I go out into my day, and I feel covered. Mm-hmm. I feel safe. I feel mm-hmm. protected. I feel like I can do this because he prayed for me. He spent that time praying for me. Mm-hmm. So it really, really has drawn us together. Yeah, I'm going to pass it down.
I'll pass it to you, Chris. But I agree with Mary. There's like a lot of things Chris can do for me, but when he prays for me, it's just one of the things that touches my heart the most, because I feel like he has an authority in there, and it just really ministers to me when he prays for me. So, and I tell him to. I ask him. I'm pretty bold with it as well.
Yeah, that's great. Yes, prayer is an important part of the relationship. And it's just like anything else. It's a journey. You grow in it, and you increase in it. And just like sexual intimacy, you have to make it a priority. You know, it has to be a priority. And one thing, you know, early in our marriage, we would pray, you know, more spontaneously. And if a need arose, we needed prayer, and you know, we would do that. But one thing we've started doing recently, and especially for our kids, because we just really felt the urgency to pray for our kids, because they're teenagers, and you know, it's an urgent time, because they're not going to be teenagers forever. So we really got to hit it now. And so we started just recently started meeting together weekly for either half an hour or so, like basically have a pre-scheduled prayer meeting, get together and pray for our family, pray for our kids. And you know, just because of the season that they're in, and yeah, we believe it's going to be powerful. Yeah, so.
Yeah, every morning before we start our day, we pray 2 hours with my wife. I'm glad you guys have a sense of humor. But that's something that we really struggle with at this stage of our lives, because with 4 little kids, we barely have enough time to see each other. Yeah. And we try to have our personal time with the Lord. We also try to schedule time to do family devotional and teach our kids. So it's really a struggle for us to find time to pray together. Of course, we pray every night before going to bed together. And we also learn how to do it so it can work for both of us, because when I pray, I don't like to explain to the Lord a lot of my problems. I don't feel that need, while she's very detailed person, and she feels the need to pour her heart out before the Lord. So she would pray, we're in bed about to go to sleep, and I really want to calm down my mind so I could go to sleep. But then she starts explaining all the hard situations we had, all the problems, and it makes my mind spin. I'm like, come on, I'm trying to go to bed, and now you're making me think about every trouble we have in our lives. But she's like, but that's how I pour my heart out to the Lord. And she got frustrated with me, and she said, okay, then you pray every night. I'm like, I'm doing it. So it's short prayers. But again, it's not ideal, And it's so easy to feel guilty sometimes. Guilt is never a good motivator. But at the same time, it's not ideal. We need to grow in it, and we need to find time and wisdom how to do it. But better do something small than do nothing. And for us, I think mostly it works when we have the opportunity to travel, only the two of us, and we are together. That's when we can have an interrupted a time that nobody interrupts us in. We can focus, we can pray, and this is how it works at this stage of our lives. And we are expecting for another season where this will change.
Good. So the connection is not necessarily how frequently or how long, but are you connecting in prayer? And not just at mealtime, not just going to bed. I cannot pray. I could pray longer, but my wife falls asleep. But I can't think of a better way to fall asleep, than praying together and worshiping the Lord in that way. But finding those times, maybe it's you're about to go on a long drive, and you can have more of an intercessory time than in the car with each other, or driving to a meeting. Take advantage of that time versus just having the radio on, because prayer is not just communication to God; it's communication to one another. Because you're opening your heart and you're sharing your heart in prayer, and your spouse is hearing that. So we often teach that, I know a lot of you, Matt, I know Matt. I know Matt's on staff at Newport, and I know Matt pretty good because he spent a year with us in a marriage group. However, I don't know Matt intimately by prayer. But if I met with Matt every Monday morning at 6 o'clock and prayed with him until 6:30, now we didn't talk about the game on Sunday. We didn't talk about anything. All we did was pray from 6 a.m. to 6:30 a.m. I would in a few months, even less than a few months, I'd know Matt better than any people in his life outside of his wife. I mean, I'd know him better, because in that 30 minutes, week after week after week, I would hear Matt pray for his deepest needs. I'd hear Matt pray for his deepest concerns. I would hear it. Now, we'd have to commit to confidentiality, because I don't want him to share those things that are deep in my heart and his. I'd know about Matt's sin. I'd hear it. I'd hear the confession, because we trust each other. We open up before one another. We're prayer partners. And that's missing in so many of our marriages, that connection, that deep, deep connection of prayer and vulnerability and communication to God before one another is missing. So So I think those are the things that we enjoyed responding to, and hopefully it was enjoyable for you. I really appreciate our panel today, and thank you guys so much for your honest answers. And these guys, Chris and Sophie, we just grabbed them last night and said, can you be on this panel? And because they love me, and I looked at them very sternly, they said yes. So we have just 2 minutes. Is there a question? Okay.
About sex scheduling, if you have a family share calendar, be able to
go to sex scheduling on your family share calendar on your iPad that where all the whole family sees that you're being intimate. Yeah, I probably wouldn't recommend it being on there.
If
I'm sorry, a code word. Yeah. Mom and Dad, cup of coffee.
Yeah. Oh no!
We're eating
brownies.
Yeah.
Somebody said we're eating brownies.
That was their code word,
yeah,
brownies. Eating brownies, and so that was their code word. And he said when we reached our 60s, we actually were eating brownies.
Yeah, so, because teenagers are smart. Cold War thing, they're going to figure it out.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's been lovely hanging out with you. And here's what we'd like to do to close. We just would love to pray for you. Father, we thank you for this time today. I want to thank you for a lovely group of people that that take on the desire to take on the responsibility of marriage. I know it's something we do every day, and it's easy to take this person beside us for granted. It's easy to just make assumptions. It's easy to make this person the one that we have the most differing words with, God. It's easy to do that because this is the closest relationship that we have on earth, God. It is the one that is the most intimate. It's the one, God, that and so when we bump into each other, God, when we have those differences, it so deeply affects us because this is the closest relationship. So God, in that, I pray that you would remind us that we're to love one another, honor one another as you do us, God. You know us so intimately, and yet on a daily basis, you're not showing us our faults. You're not accusing us. You're not coming after us and disciplining us in a way that's shame-filled. Lord, we thank you for correction and all of that in intimacy, God. But so we just pray that you would continue to build that in our marriages and build the intimacy, Father, with communication, with prayer spiritually. Build the intimacy with the whole area of sexuality, God. Just all the things, Lord, that you gave us, these gifts that you've given us, may we honor you by walking in them and being free to do so. So we love you, Jesus, and we love that you created marriage for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
To his wife and said, "Honey, I'm gonna take you to an expensive place tonight." She was like, "Oh, really?" She put the nice dress and said, "Okay, I'm ready. Where are we going?" He said, "Gas station." Don't do that. Bad idea.